Hey everyone, today we are talking with the amazing Mistress Lucilla. We're talking about BDSM and we just want to make sure everyone's aware that consent is key, isn't it, Mistress Lucilla?
It is absolutely. It is absolutely key to get consent.
Yep.
So don't do anything to anybody without permission and it's okay for them to change their minds.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay for them to withdraw consent. So don't be a shit person.
Don't be a shit person. Consent is the most important thing.
Yes.
And also in this episode, we speak about blood play briefly and other BDSM
adult kinks. Over 18 content.
Over 18 content. We just thought we'd let you all know.
Language warning. Language and content warning.
But it's a very fun episode. So keep on listening if you'd like to.
Ooh.
Yeah.
If you dare.
Listener production.
Today, this podcast is being recorded on Gadigal land. We pay our respects to the traditional custodians of this country and elders past, present. We extend our respect to any First Nations, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people joining us today.
It's a lot, isn't it?
Lem. Thank you for organising this. So we have on the podcast, why am I so nervous? On the podcast today, we have Mistress Lucilla, dominatrix, professional dominatrix. You're on your fifth Instagram account because why?
Because I'm a whore. Hi, everyone.
Hello.
Nice to meet you.
Thank you so much for coming in. I'm so excited to speak to you. I have 5 million questions.
Good.
The main ones are very selfish because I speak on the podcast a lot about how I'm just a pure sub.
Mm,
I can't.
I noticed.
I'm nervous. Did you notice me being, I'm just a sub. It's like you can feel the energy of nerves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm. And enjoying being a little bit of a bratty sub, you know?
No. So, not when I'm around.
Ooh.
Sorry, mistress. Sorry. But I want to hear about what you do, but I also want to selfishly learn how to be more dominant because people have asked me to be a bit more switchy and I try. And very famously on the podcast, I said that when I tried one time.
Yeah.
The only thing in my mouth was, yeah, you little piece of shit, you know? And it wasn't really, there wasn't much tension build up. There wasn't much really going on there.
Okay.
So let's go from the beginning. I think everyone's first question is going to be, how did you get into this?
How I got into it?
Give me the rundown from the start because.
Go to what?
Yeah, go. What the hell?
Okay. So I decided quite early on that I didn't want to be stuck in a boardroom. Being bored because they're, you know.
A boardroom,
exactly.
Good pun.
And I think the sex industry really is the only industry where the glass ceiling is reversed.
Yes.
So.
Or influencing. Yeah,
can't do that.
Because I think this is a bit fucking deep, but I think I've actually read an article about this, about it's just the commodification of women's bodies or femme bodies and that's the only kind of money that the patriarchy and capitalist patriarchy is okay with. Mm. We're making more money because they devalue it, even though it's a real job and it's a real industry.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. I mean, we all prostitute ourselves in some ways, you know, training different things.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yes. Yes.
So I started my apprenticeship on my 18th birthday and did that for 2 years.
So your apprenticeship in being a dominatrix. Okay. Yeah. So let's start with that. So you can go to dominatrix classes, aka should I go? Is it like a TAFE course? I'm being serious. what's the thing?
So it was at a BDSM establishment, which is no longer in Sydney, closed down a few years ago.
Sad.
And I studied for 2 years. So during that time, it was a lot of theory, two lessons a week in the beginning. And so it's basically like you've got your L plates on. Think of it like getting your license. I had to get my Dom license.
Yeah, okay, right.
And during that time I had to have a master as well, so I had to learn holistically what it was like to give as well as receive.
Oh, wow. Mm. Okay. Mm. So how did you organise a master? Were there just
It was all done through the establishment. They
really?
Had like a friend of the house who was going to help, yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. Okay, so you went to this institution, I guess. Yeah. Oh, it's a brothel. Okay, so you went to a brothel.
Yeah.
And is it mandatory 2 years or do you just feel until you feel ready to have clients for yourself?
Their program was for 2 years.
Okay.
I think that's the right amount of time because the different kind of skills you have to have.
Yeah.
I mean, to put it this way, would you get into a car with someone who hasn't got a license and ask them to drive you, you know, 150 kilometers per hour? No, you wouldn't.
Yeah, no.
So some people would, but, you know, you've got to learn, you know, first aid, safety, you know, how to do piercing, you know, more of the complicated medical play.
Of course.
You know, where the right places on the body to do suspension, all that kind of stuff. So it's while it looks really cool and it is very, very cool, there's also a huge amount of safety and that kind of stuff to consider before you even concession on your own.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So when you were younger, before you started doing your apprenticeship, were you always very naturally dominant in every aspect of your life?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Are you surprised?
I'm not surprised. But people think that I would be a dom in the bedroom, but I'm actually the opposite because I have that CEO complex where it's like, I'm so busy, like, and I just want to be like someone that I sleep with. He will be fucking me and he'll be like, you don't have to make any decisions. And I'm like, oh, fucking.
It does sound kind of nice.
It is nice. Yeah. But so you've been always dominant in every in every aspect, sexually, everything.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Okay.
Which was tricky for when I had the master because I kind of threw him a bit of a sixer because he was like, I don't know what to do with you.
It would be.
And like, that's a you problem. Because I guess when I first started, I didn't really, I mean, I was very bratty, arrogant 16-year-old. Nothing's really changed, just the age.
Yeah.
And so I, you know, went to a play party, jumped in. And I had no idea what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was I met this guy. He was like something out of The Crow. He was so hot and I'm following around frothing, going, I want to play with you. And I just wouldn't let it go. And eventually he sort of explains, look, there's nothing that I can really do with you because you're not submissive. I'm like, well, what are you talking about? How dare you talk to me like that? And then,
he's like, point proven.
Point proven. So he actually suggested to me, he's like, why don't you consider this as a career? Because it, in every aspect of you, this is who you are and in the core. And I went, okay, all right. So I saved up some money and I went off to the brothel and said, I think you should teach me.
Oh my God. and then you
after
learned.
A couple of tries, then they let me in. And,
so then when you were being a sub, did you have to, were you sort of acting submissive against your natural instincts? Is that what you had to do just to be able to kind of get through it? Or what was that like for you? If you are, I guess it's like me trying to be dominant, right? But well, you'd actually be good at it, I imagine.
Well, yeah, because I think a part of what I do is a lot of role play and everything else like that.
Of course.
But with my master, because I guess at that point I, you know, not meaning to put a label and stuff because there are a lot of labels and acronyms in BDSM, I guess I probably identified as a switchy brat. And so I was like, well, you make me submit. You earn it. I'm not just going to give it to you.
Yeah, right.
And eventually it was quite easy to figure me out once he figured it out because I've got a very, very, very high sex drive and I'm very sexually motivated.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, if you want the good stuff, you got to earn it. I'm like, well, what do you mean?
Yeah.
So as soon as he figured that out, I was fucked.
So it's like a different – so it's a different dynamic to what would traditionally just be a basic, quote-unquote, basic sub, basic dom. It was there was a more complicated power structure there.
Definitely, because it was a, you know, two and a bit year relationship. I was collared to him, but I guess not in the traditional way because he had like a blood fetish and that's something that I have in my personal life taken with me.
Okay.
It wasn't like a traditional collar around your neck. It was drinking each other's blood as a sign of my submission and his ownership of me.
Right. Yeah. Now, when it comes to that, how do you, I guess this is another huge question, but how do you ensure safety? Obviously, it's important to have someone who's trained with you. Mm. That's why it's so important if you do a two-year course, right? With something like blood, how would you, when you first did it, were you terrified that, or did you feel safe when under your master? And like, how did that come about? I'd be very scared.
I don't know.
And is it warm?
I think it's highly erotic.
Yeah.
But that's just a me thing.
I had someone once asked to drain my blood a little bit and if I wanted to see his scalpels, but I freaked out because I was 19.
Yeah, that's
and I was a bit scared.
A little bit weird. Yeah.
Right, first date, bit weird, but kind of horny. We fucked for 3 more years.
So it mustn't have been that scary then.
He was
how
really
perplexing.
He was really hot, like really hot. I said, oh, no, thank you, then when he never did it.
Mm.
But so the blood fetish for you, blood drinking fetish for you, did that – that started because of him or did you already have interest in that?
Well, I think because I was young and malleable.
Malleable.
It was kind of, I was interested. I didn't feel scared. Like we went and had blood tests and all that kind of stuff beforehand. So that was all fine.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, I thought it was thrilling.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I mean, but if I say that to most people, like, you're weird. I'm like, well,
I mean,
fucking oath I'm
don't
weird,
yuck my yum. I think a lot of these kinks you're saying people think it's weird. A lot of these kinks or fetishes, people just haven't heard of them or ever really thought about them deeper than that's yuck. So they hear it, they initially go, that's yuck and that's bizarre. Mm. But the point of it is that it's bizarre. That's why it's hot,
and
right?
It's not conventional. And I think the way that BDSM has been portrayed in mass media with, you know, various books and movies that shall not be named.
Yes. I think we know. Yes.
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 I think people have an idea of what it is, but when you actually sort of scratch the surface at a very, you know, top level, it's so different. And I think that's why, you know, I am like writing the book and doing like, you know, as many touch points as I can is to help people understand it's actually not weird. We're not all, you know, perverts.
Yeah.
We're not all, you know, consent breaching rapists. Which,
yeah. Like, so let's compare. That's a great starting point. Let's compare how media, mainstream media, depicts BDSM and what it's really like. What are the biggest differences that you've noticed in the experience?
I think everyone assumes that I live in a house with lots of slaves in this big gothic castle with a moat and dragons and stuff. And let me tell you, I wish that was true because that would be fun.
Yes, that would be fun.
I guess my job is to sell fantasy, to create and to sell fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think that, then I'm doing my job correctly.
Yes, right.
Because if you're looking to escape fantasy, no one really cares about my reality. Mm-hmm. You want to know about the fantasy.
Yes.
So I guess it's my job to hold up this big shiny picture of what it could look like.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess some people want to know what it's not like as well. Like I've, for example, like when I was on a plane, a couple of years ago. So I've got these really large,
gorgeous
talons.
Yes.
That are, you know, there's all nail art. They're, you know, they're quite striking. And I'm not.
They're amazing.
They're amazing. Miss Betty Rose does them. She's phenomenal. Hey, Miss
Betty Rose. We love
her. And everyone knows me because of my talent. So I'm sitting on the plane. It's like the red eye to Melbourne. I've got to go down there for the day. I'm flicking on my phone and I get this tap on the shoulder. And it's this lady who's marveling over my nails, asking questions about them, asking where I got them done, yada, 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 yada. Mm. And behind her is her husband, who's my client.
Oh.
So I know her husband as Regina, who comes in and does cross-dressing.
Okay.
And he is shitting himself. And the plane's packed.
Oh, my God.
And she's asking the question. She turns to Roger, a.k.a. Regina. Oh, darling, you know, can I get my nails done? I said, look, they're pretty expensive, blah, blah, blah. And she said, how much? I said, oh, about, you know, $250, $300, depending. Oh,
Worth it.
Mm. And he's like, oh, of course, honey, of course. And you know, they shuttle off and he's like, you know, turning the prettiest shade of white.
Oh, my God. It's hilarious.
Anyway, go to Melbourne, blah, 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 get back. A few weeks later, Regina turns up.
Mm.
Oh, thank you so much for not revealing my identity. I said, look, I don't care.
No, you
know what I mean? Like I live in the shadows.
Yes.
And that's where I kind of sit and I'm comfortable sitting with that. Mm. And it's really important for me that, you know, confidentiality, mutual confidentiality is kept and upheld at all times.
Yeah, of course.
And I said, oh, did your wife get a nail? And he said, yeah. I said, well, good, book her in every 3 weeks because I don't know how much you spend on Regina.
So she deserves a little treat.
She deserves a treat whenever she wants, sweetheart.
So when you have these clients, how do you ensure safety for you and also for them in these scenes?
So safety for me is, I guess, you've got to do your vetting. So it's about, I guess, how you approach.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, like I have to assume that everyone's going to kill me and they have to prove to me by their conduct and the way that they, you know, deal with the booking that they're not going to be mass murderers.
Yes, which is scary, right? Like that's a real.
There is a danger of sex work. Absolutely.
Absolutely. And I don't
think that's necessarily something that's going to go away. But I guess, you know, the more rights we give, the more it's going to take out the wrongs.
And the more transparency as well, the less of people, of sex workers being underrepresented or not spoken about or spoken to, or like you were saying, your Instagram's been deleted 4 times.
Yeah.
Even that adds to the taboo of it and that adds to not having transparency in a community that you would have built in. You know, I can imagine if you have clients that you have other sex workers on there, you know, you can exchange, oh, this client was bad or this client was good.
Reference checking, because in America, like where, I mean, the laws are, it's illegal in America. It's legal in Australia.
Yeah.
Instagram, this is a massive grey area of social media.
Mm.
Instagram abides by American law where prostitution is illegal.
Yeah.
And shooting porn is legal. Whereas here it's not. So therefore, if I'm saying on Instagram, my Instagram is the most boringest Instagram in the world. It's like, here I am with a cup of tea.
Oh, my God.
Because I can't.
Why did I just think that was so hot? Me going hot.
Well, I try to make them like the most mundane stuff hot because that's all I can really do out of fear. Not necessarily with, I don't care about the followers. I don't care about all that kind of stuff.
Mm.
It's actually being cut off from the community, which is the most hurtful because we've got this international BDSM community of people who want to share ideas and see what's going on. And especially during lockdown, I had lots of my, I think the fourth or third account during one of the, I can't remember, it's all such a blur. But it's that kind of stuff. So if I am a legally abiding Australian citizen, not soliciting anything, because I can't say I'm touring Melbourne. I'm like, I'm going to Melbourne. Here I am on a plane in my civilian clothes.
Yes.
Like it's so boring. But that'll get taken down because that could be seen as soliciting because of the American law that Instagram abides by.
Yes, right.
It's crazy.
The Sesta-Foster yes, yes. Which basically says that it changed what, in like 2017 or something,
yeah.
2018?
Yeah.
For those listening, it basically is, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's that you can't use websites online to solicit sex work, but they've disguised it under quote-unquote sex trafficking, assuming yeah. that all sex work, consensual or not, is sex trafficking. Yes, yeah. Yeah, so that's why how the Conservatives got it through, because they presented it as sex trafficking is this huge issue, which it is an issue.
Yes, there
they
is
acted
an issue.
As though every single person yep. soliciting sex or any yep. sexual act on, yep. online is then sex trafficking. Ooh. And that was the classic, you know, moral panic yep. of Sesta Foster. That's right, yeah. right? That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
That's
well
right.
done. I'm impressed.
I'm into, she has done. I'm into American politics style, you know. I was very angry yeah. when this was happening. I was yeah. very outraged listening yeah. to all my podcasts. Mm-hmm. But so, to ensure your own safety and safety of the clients.
Yeah. So I need to make sure that everything's, so there's safe, sane and consensual BDSM. Mm-hmm. We'll unpack.
Safe, sane, consensual.
Yes.
Okay.
Safe is, so I know what I'm doing to you is safe, so therefore mm-hmm. I've got the experience, I've got the qualifications, mm-hmm. everything is clean. So, for example, like, you know, if obviously you know, we reuse equipment, so we've got to clean it in a certain way to make mm-hmm. sure that mm-hmm. you're not going to catch anything.
Yes.
And also with my own health and safety as well, I get tested all the time, mm-hmm. yada, 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 that, mm-hmm. you know, if there's going to be a dildo going up your butt, there's going to be a condom on, all that kind of stuff.
Great.
Safe. Safe environment, mm-hmm. you know, the ceiling's not going to fall down.
Yes.
Sane is, you know, legal, no minors, no animals, none of that kind of stuff.
Right.
And consensual. I agree to do the things that you have requested to you, and you agree to have them done to you. And there is the safe word as an out at all time, which is upheld, respected, and communicated.
Yes. So how do you go through and figure out what you both want from the session or from the, I guess, client relationship?
Well, I guess there's two ways to look at it. So there's professionally, mm-hmm. I'm a service provider. Mm-hmm. So I'm here to, you book me to have an experience.
So I'm like, I want to get my hair done. I want to have this colour, this colour, this colour. And you correct. Go, great, great. We'll go from there.
So therefore you're relying on my experience to yes. make sure that you get the hair that you want.
Yeah.
It's exactly the same.
Okay.
So in the lifestyle, which is probably more interesting to you, mm-hmm. yeah. is that.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So it's like, just cut to the shit, bitch, get to it.
It's all interesting to me. I love this shit. I love it. Amazing. Yeah.
So it's more about, I guess, it's almost trying to find or being clear about what you like.
Mm-hmm.
And finding people or other persons who also like the same thing. It's almost like dating.
Okay,
so
yeah,
it's
right.
almost looking for a type. So I know that in my own life I like blood, I like a bit of CNC or consensual non-consent.
Yeah.
God, it's been so long since I've done anything fun for myself. I guess.
Which one?
I'm like, yeah. shit, what do I like? So let's just take that for example. Now, I know that that's very niche within a niche.
Yes.
So therefore trying to find somebody who is happy to receive that
yes.
is not easy. So, and also if someone wants to try it on me, mm-hmm. that's not necessarily what I want to a point. Let's put it like making a cup of tea. There's actually a really good video and it's yep. probably about 10 years old.
Yeah. About consent.
Consent and tea.
Yeah.
Have you seen
yeah.
it?
Yeah, I have seen it.
It's
yep.
amazing. And yep. I think if you apply that approach to anything kind of, you know, sexual, mm-hmm. BDSM, whatever, mm-hmm. it makes a huge amount of sense. So if you come to my house and say, hi, darling, how are you? Good to see you.
Yeah.
I've just got this new blend of tea. It's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Do you want some? Mm-hmm. And you'd be like, can I have a coffee instead? I'd be like, I'd be disappointed. But I'm yes. like, you know what? You've asked for a coffee. And then you have to ask, like, well, what milk are you drinking?
Yeah.
And like, oh, do you have oat milk? And I'm like, check the cupboard. No, yeah. I don't. I've got soy.
Yeah.
Can we, is soy okay? Like, yeah, that's okay. Mm-hmm. How, and like, oh, is it okay if I don't have it so hot because I've just had some dental work on? So mm-hmm. all these variables will come out just mm-hmm. from making a hot
yes.
beverage.
Yes. So, let alone a sex scene. Yeah.
But it's the yeah. same kind of thing. Yeah, it's yeah. like, you know, hi, do you want to play today? Yeah, mm-hmm. I do. What do you want to do? Blah, 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 blah. Well, mm-hmm. I don't really like impact play. I'm not really good at doing it, but I'm good at, you know, cutting. I don't like cutting. So you've got to kind of dance that and negotiation
yes.
stage of, are we compatible as play partners?
Right.
Can we meet in the middle? Am I happy to compromise or is this like hard limit? So I often say to people, find out what you don't like first and what's the no-go zones mm-hmm. and the hard limits.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's easier to figure out what build. You do like.
Right.
So with you wanting to be a dom, I'm going to start asking some questions of you.
Okay.
This is when.
Well, I don't know if I want to be a dom. I don't know if I really get horny from it, but I feel like I might be able to. I had sex last night and I tried to, and then I went, done with this.
Done with this. but why? Where is it coming from that makes you think that you want to be a dom or more dominant or whatever? Tell me where it's coming from.
Well, I just think that I should have more variety other than being a bratty and wing sub. And I think, I just think it would be. I just think I need to expand. I don't know. I just think that I probably should expand my skill set.
Okay. In what area?
Well,
this is going to be the tricky thing. I think I'm going to ask. So this is now the Mistress Lucilla podcast. I've just taken over.
I love it. We should host a podcast. We should make a whole new podcast, and it should be up our journey.
What are we going to call it?
Something like, I don't know.
Mistress Lucilla featuring. I mean,
podcast. Yeah, featuring. And then the
Switchy Brats and Sluts.
Switchy Brats. And then the podcast art is a boot on my head.
Yes.
As long as you're consenting to it.
I'm consenting to it. Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. And then you just look hot, like you're ignoring me. And I'm like, no, I feel like my issue is this.
I went there and I'm now super aroused.
Kind of hot, right?
Yeah.
So I think what it is is this. I try and be dominant, but I'm so comfortable being someone deciding what's happening for me. It's almost an insecurity for me where I want to feel more confident in myself sexually to be able to say what I want and be able to communicate things. And maybe that is being a slightly more dominant, maybe not being a dom, but not being
The energy. You want the energy.
And being able to communicate things and be able to say things. Like one of my sexual partners, he just talks the whole time and will think of scenes, you know, and it's not like he's like a dom, but he's much more in. He constructs what we're doing, you know, and I just kind of go along with it, which is hot.
Yeah.
But sometimes I do kind of feel like.
He talks too much. Just put a ball gag in his mouth.
Yeah. Well, actually, we had sex.
Consensually.
Yeah, over summer, he loves when I wear like heels, and I was wearing lingerie and these new really thin, like pointy heels that I bought for him. And
What were they?
Paris, Texas. These like, have you seen?
I have such a high heel fetish.
Oh my god, you'd love. They are literally it's thinner than a straw. Yeah. The heel, yeah. So hot.
I think I know the ones. Yeah,
mules.
Yeah.
So I had them on, and I was joking around because it's such a joke that I'm not a dom. I was like, I was standing on his balls, and yeah, you fucking like that? And he was like, yeah.
Do not stand on anyone's.
No. Balls. Oh no. With the point, with the ball.
Okay. Okay.
Like this hard. This hard. Tapping, right? Joking, being like, ha, 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 ha.
Okay, all right.
And then, because I was, don't worry. I wasn't piercing his balls. I would never even, also because we were joking and I was like, oh yeah, yeah, fuck yeah. And then I was kind of being a bit dominant, a little bit, but in a joking way.
Yeah.
And then I was too scared to push it further. But then after that, we had like some of the best sex of the week. I mean, not of my life, but of the week
okay.
With him.
Yeah, yeah.
Because of that. So that's when I kind of added to my thought of, well, maybe I should be a little bit more dominant in that way. That's why.
So he's this person's the one that we want to do the experimenting with?
Yeah, I guess, yeah. Okay.
So what we need to find out, subs want to feel wanted and doms want to feel needed.
Yes, okay.
So the thing, I guess, put it this way. I guess we sort of can establish the dynamic of like a pilot and a passenger.
Okay.
The dom is a pilot.
Mm-hmm.
The sub is a passenger. So it's our responsibility. Like that the sub is basically giving control of their well-being and everything for the time. And it's our responsibility to get them off the ground, plateau out in the air and get them down to their destination safely. So there's a lot of responsibility. And also, I guess the thing about the BDSM dynamic is there's three things that are really most important. Trust, communication and respect. For someone to trust you with their life and well-being is huge.
Yes.
And I think, you know, it needs to be respected. So you as Dom Abby, what's your mistress name going to be?
I don't know. What could it be?
Mistress Slate.
Madame A.
Why did the name Margaret just sound so funny?
Fuck
like,
off.
Margaret
from the 1800s is coming out.
Oh, hey, Marg.
Not Maggie. Oh, my God.
Margie.
Oi, Margie. No, what could my name be?
Mimi.
Madame A.
No.
Mimi.
Madame A.
Madame A.
Madame
A. Madame A.
Okay, Madame A.
Madame A.
Okay, yes, mistress.
Okay.
You decide, mistress. See, I'm just a natural sub, you know.
Yeah, I know.
Let's do what I'm told.
Right. But like, I think there's switchy potential.
There's potential, I think,
potential,
as well.
There's potential.
Yep.
And we're exploring.
Mm.
And the good thing is about exploring is that we learn things. Mm. And if it's, you know, if in doubt, chuck it out.
So true.
Mm.
Okay.
Okay, so play person, what do they like?
I don't know. I'm always the one just, what do they like when they're doing things to me?
There's two different things. Because do they want to receive the things to them that you do, that they do to you? This is what we need to find out.
I don't think so, no.
Okay. So we need to get to the bottom of if Madame A is going to come out, what does the playground look like?
Okay.
Because if we know then we can get to the consent negotiation of it could be like, oh, I want to be pegged, I want to be tied up.
Well, all I want to do is peg someone. That's all I want to do in life.
Can I ask, what's pegging?
Anal play.
And didn't
strap on?
Strap on, up, anus.
I love the word anus.
It's my dream. You know, anus, I love it. Everyone that I sleep with.
Mistress Anus.
Change the name.
Mistress Anus.
Mistress Anus.
With a little umlaut above the U. Yes. Above the U. So everyone's like, oh, it's far. Oh, she's so far. She's European. Wow.
From the backwaters of Germany, Mistress Anus.
Oh, my fucking God.
Auf Wiedersehen.
But yeah, whenever I speak with someone new, I go, what are you into? And they go, I'm really sure. And I go, maybe I could try and peg you. Like, I'm like, but no one will ever let me do it.
Well, no, you just have to say, what don't you like or what can't I do?
Okay.
To person X.
Okay.
And they're going to go, and you got to like tease it out of them.
Well, this is the thing as well. So I have a quote unquote dom overseas who we just FaceTime fuck. Okay. And he's coming to Australia apparently soon. I don't know. I keep saying that, but I'm like, also I kind of want to go to his place because he has like a
We can come dungeon. To my dungeon.
We'll rent it out.
Yeah.
You can be involved if you want to. Yeah. It'd be great. So, thank you.
Yeah. Mistress then we'll see who the real dom is.
Yeah, all three. Me trying to be a dom as well. Mistress Anus comes out.
Ha! You're pathetic.
Like, you little piece of shit. Yeah. Like, shut the fuck up. But so he, for example, I never thought that I was a exhibitionist, right? I thought I was more of like a voyeur.
No, as a total exhibitionist.
Yeah. So he knew that. And then.
We all do, darling. You've also got a praise kink as well.
How do you know that? I do. I really do.
It's just you're the most perceptive guest ever.
What other kink do I have?
You're just gonna have to wait.
Oh God. Okay. Mm. Well, you've got the two ones that I didn't.
Greedy, aren't you?
Okay.
This is when she cuts the short girder off.
Oh my fucking God, that's so fucking good. No, but so he kind of exposed to me that I have an exhibitionist kink. This is years ago, like two, three years ago.
Yeah.
When I was in a hotel quarantine and I was like bored as fuck FaceTiming him. But how do you figure that out? Like, because obviously you're very good at it as well. I can imagine. Mm. How do you figure it out? And then how do you communicate to someone, I think you will like this if they haven't brought it up? You know what I mean? Like if you go, I know you, I feel like you will enjoy pegging. Do you just do it during conversation before or what's the?
Oh yeah. Cause like normally before a session, particularly with new people, it's depending on what it is and the complexity of it. I guess I have a very clinical conversation with my clients. So I have to know everything about them in a few minutes. So what do you hear? I often ask the question, how did we get here? Mm-hmm. And then they'll, you know, either they're starting out, they could be doing it for, you know, many years, yada, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. So I need to kind of know where you've been, what we're doing, I guess, what we're doing today.
Yeah.
What are the hard limits? Is there anything that you have seen in porn that you want to try before? Any things like health concerns? Have you had any operation? Are you on any medication?
Mm-hmm.
Any issues with knees? And then let's get to the mental trauma. Not that I want to know everything, but is there any negative trigger points that I say or do or touch something that's going to basically wig you out?
Yeah.
Basically, give me everything that I need to know in a nutshell.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what the playground looks like. Sometimes I remember I had one client years ago and he was so nervous, I basically had to do the talking for him because I'm like, you're going to have to leave. I said, with all due respect, I don't think I can have a session with you today because I can't understand what you want to be able to negotiate consent and give you a rough idea of what the session would look like.
Yeah.
And eventually he's like, I can't leave. And I'm like, why not? He's like, because it's taken me 3 years to get the courage to walk in here. Talk about 20, 25 minutes to get to a point that he wanted to be tied up and pegged. But then it turned into adult baby, which is kind of weird. So
again,
at that point as well, is that when you, fantasies are very cerebral. So what we think is going to work and be fantastic in here, because, you know, let's all be honest, we all watch porn.
I'm off it at the moment.
For how long? Just today.
Currently?
Yeah.
Yeah, 4 days at the moment. But, you know, I'm trying to be more present.
How much porn do you watch?
Not that much. Like, I watch porn like once every couple of days, but
Why do you need to stop watching it to be more present?
Well, because then I think about the porn scenes to be able to come, but I'm trying to come just from what's in front of me.
Oh, because you're conditioned. This is like using vibrators too much. And then
And my brain has decided that to come It's not that I can't come, it's just that my brain goes, well, this is the fastest path to coming. Yep. So you just think about that. And then I was told over summer with someone that I've been sleeping with that I am not very present and it makes them not feel great about the sex we're having. It's not very fun for them, which is fair, which is a good thing to hear.
Mistress Anus would say that's a you problem. Deal with it.
Mistress Anus would really just stand her ground, wouldn't she, in her Paris, Texas?
She would. And Anus. She would just...
Naughty and no- okay, mistress. Yeah, mistress. Yeah, see? Fuck you.
Like- No, we don't even have to say anything. And that's the thing. I know that we're jumping all over the place.
Yeah, I love it. This is how I talk on tangents. I love it.
It's about the language. I mean, I guess people get very caught up on, right, I'm going to do kink. I'm going to do all this stuff. I need all the gear. I need to wear all this stuff and all this kind of shit. And like, it's the, what's the classic Daggy saying? All the gear, no idea. And it's very easy when you sort of get into the world of BDSM because there's all these labels. Like, what am I? Who do I identify as? And who am I? And it's like, I'm a head in this. I'm a switch. I'm a this. I'm a Can't you just be who you are?
Yeah.
Because just like your desires and cravings for food, like I could smash a pepperoni pizza right fucking now.
Me too. I mean, maybe we should have some. Yeah.
She's looking over to them.
Me going, mistress wants
mistress has a corset on and mistress can probably only get like 8 slices of pepperoni. But later, once it comes off, bitch.
Yeah. Mistress Anus.
Mistress Anus.
Oh, wait, am I Madam Anus?
No.
Mistress.
What sounds better? Mistress Anus or Madam Anus?
We'll do a poll on Instagram.
Or Domina Anus.
Domina Anus. Anus. Domina Anus. Oh my God.
Domina Anus.
Domina Anus.
I will have my pepperoni pizza now.
Yes. Go and get Domina Anus.
I just imagine this like electronic beat going like.
Domina Anus.
Oh, that's hot. Fuck yeah. Okay, so.
Okay.
Wait.
Gear, labels.
All the gear, no idea.
All the gear, no idea. It really, okay, so. Let's start with, once we know what we're good at doing or what attracts us to BDSM and what we can be dominant with and what's, you know, we're going to learn.
Mm.
So it's test and learning. It's going to be fun. Mm. We're here to suffer in the right way and we're going to make mistakes because we've got our L plates on. Once we find out what person A or person X likes, doesn't like, then we can think about, okay, what can I do and what's going to give me pleasure? What's going to give both of us pleasure where can I drive this bus?
Okay, basically.
So then there's going to be like research and all this kind of stuff, but it's really easy to get bogged down with too much information rather than just giving it a go. You got to keep it really, really, really simple because then you learn and you build on it. So if you try and do everything at once, like, right, I'm going to ball bust and I'm going to put 200 needles through a cock and balls and then blah, 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 blah. And like, it's like, no, why?
Yeah.
And if, like, you can go into a sex store and there's all this stuff.
Mm.
I mean, like, really, you can do it. I can do a session just by being here, really. Like it's about the
mental
intention.
Thing.
It's about the intention. It's about the language that you use.
Yeah.
And it's about the outward impression that you use. Like you don't sit there slouch. You got to, you know, sit up and command attention.
Hmm. Yes.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Like
dominant. Shut up, Oh my God. See, I feel so silly.
But that's okay. But you can laugh because with person X, it's going to be fun.
Yes.
Because I think, if I'm going to call it, I think the dynamic between you is probably going to be switchy. You're going to try it. It could be a little bit fun. He might like it. And then it's going to go back to how it was. And then, Domina Anus will come out every so often.
It's so funny. He's going to pierce. I'm going to send him this and he's going to go, what the fuck are you talking about? What the fuck, Domina Anus? He will find it so funny.
Can I ask, because you're talking about the physical aspects of it, right? Like this is the type of play that I want. But how do you prepare yourself mentally to do that leap, to lean into this persona, or is it about imagining another persona that you're inhabiting, or is it about looking into your own characteristics and amplifying what is dominant, do you think?
Me personally or just in general?
I mean,
because this is not a show, darling. This is not an act.
I guess maybe for you and what you would recommend for someone.
It's about giving yourself permission to experiment because I think there's a lot of, self-doubt, as you said before, you feel a bit insecure about blah, 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 blah. It's when you stop giving a shit about what other people think and how they're going to react is when you give yourself permission to do exactly what you want.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's fucking liberating. And I think more of a shit, and that's about everything really.
Yeah.
So I think going into a scene, knowing that you're there to have fun, knowing that you're there for pleasure in some way, shape or form, and knowing that it could shift into something else and letting go of all expectation. And once you clear all that kind of stuff, when people come in and they're new, I said, all the stuff that you see in porn, throw it out.
Yeah.
Throw it out.
Yeah.
Because it's such a cerebral experience. And when you start to unpack it in real life, you have to give yourself, I guess, pat on the back for giving it a go because a lot of people can't. You have to, I guess, realize that, you know, with something like pegging, most women find it quite fun, but some don't. And it's such a, it's unique to you how you're going to react.
Yeah.
So either you're going to like it, you're going to be indifferent, or you're going to fucking hate it.
Yeah.
And if in doubt, chuck it out, because it seems to be the saying today.
Yeah. But
and that's okay because you've given it a go, you've learned something about yourself. And if you keep building on that, then you could get to a place that you never thought was possible.
Yeah. So how would I start? Like, I feel like obviously, ideally, we want to get to a scene, but how would I just, do you have like a little script or anything for listeners of me that want to be slightly more dominant that I can test the waters and see how I feel? Because I don't really know if I like it. Like, oh, like how would you, you know how, you know Dan Savage?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know how he says like when you're doing dirty talk, it's what you're doing, what you've done, what you're doing, what you're going to do. That's like a structure.
Yeah,
do you have any structure in terms of that, but with a dominant talk? Because like we've established, I just say, yeah, fuck off, which obviously isn't good.
Well, we try and avoid swearing.
Oh, okay, cool.
Because
Sorry.
Well, no, when we're in a scene, so things like raising your voice and swearing is an indicator that you've lost control.
Yeah, that's why I never yell or swear.
No. Unless someone asks you, like if I'm doing an interrogation scene and kidnapping scene and all that kind of stuff, you can dial it up, dial it down. My voice naturally is, I guess, quite dominant.
Yes, it's very stern and clear and not monotone but very calm. It's consistent.
It's consistent.
Yes.
So I think it's about you speak very quickly, I can speak very quickly. I'm very conscious for myself to slow it down when I'm working.
Okay.
Because
that means
I'm thinking things more clearly, and also if someone can't necessarily keep up with how quickly I talk,
right, it takes them out of the scene.
It takes away from the scene. So it's about putting all those things in place, and I guess giving yourself a roadmap, because you're going to get a little bit nervous, you're going to giggle, and it's just about, I guess, take a breath beforehand, know that this is fun,
okay,
no swearing, calm voice. But I think also, I guess, the whole consent thing, let's get back to the cup of tea. You've got to kind of have the chat beforehand and figure out what it is. Once you know what it is, just say, okay, person X agrees to being tied down, tie and tease on the bed, trying pegging, and then a general fuck at the end.
Okay. I love a general fuck at the
just
end.
Just a general fuck
just to top
at the
it
end,
off, yeah.
Right?
Okay.
So let's assume that that's the
okay,
same.
Okay. And then what do I say?
And then what do you say? Sometimes you don't need to say anything. Who said you need to say anything? Because especially, is this the guy who talks a lot?
Well, he talks, yeah, he talks, it's a good amount.
Okay.
He
well, then maybe.
Makes up stories for me.
I don't want to hear your stories. I want you to be silent. And if you're not silent, you get nothing. Are we clear?
The studio's silent, us going, okay.
And that's all you need to say.
So shut up. No, okay. So I have to just be calm and say, do you understand?
It's okay. Think of it this way. Toddlers.
Yes.
Right? They're energetic and they want that. There's all this stuff and running around. You're always going to stay two steps ahead of them. It's a similar approach to clients.
Yes.
Or the subs.
Yes.
Is that they're going to be, particularly if they're a bit bratty, they're going to be trying to push you to try and lose control. Some people are very naturally submissive, but you need to go, right, this stick's going to get too hard. I haven't given you permission to come.
Yeah.
Blah, 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 blah. Is the cock getting too hard? Well, is there pre-cum? Is it, you've got to be.
Is the cock getting too hard? Okay. There's a lot of things to think about.
A lot of things to think about. So maybe try.
Because we tried to do a slightly dominant thing, not even anything close. It was just more even leveling the playing field of me not being a pure sub. And I planned it, and like the day before, like the morning of, I was like, okay, today, let me have sex with you where I'm not the sub, because we need to practice this, because it's been many, many years of us sleeping together. And he was like, yeah, babe. And I think he got a little bit bored after like a second. And then he was like, fuck this. I'm face fucking you. And then also because like I like it, I was like, whatever, CBF doing it anyway. It's kind of like homework almost to me, but I want to get you good at it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's sort
of
learning a new skill.
Yeah.
And you go, well, it's easier for me to just do what we're doing anyway, but I want to persevere and keep trying.
Yeah. Well, just start with the basic stuff of just saying, okay, mm-hmm. he likes face fucking you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, if you want to fuck my face, I'm going to fuck your ass, deal? Like something like Slade. That's, you know.
Slade.
Can I say like two things? First of all, I've noticed that every sentence you started in this Dom state started with I. Mm-hmm. I want you to.
Mm.
I think you should. So that's the assertiveness part. Yes, I took an assertiveness course to learn how to deal with Australian culture. Because anyway, but the second thing is it good for, what is it? Domina anus. To practice in private, like by herself. Right. You know what I mean? Is it good to practice by yourself and get into a zone of that kind of persona and then kind of apply that, in the bedroom?
Would that make you feel weird or would, like, how would you
feel? I talk to myself a lot.
Okay.
So I'm sure.
Are you comfortable with like looking at yourself? Because some people get really freaked out about looking at themselves in the mirror and like talking to themselves.
Oh,
okay.
No. Always talking to myself.
Okay.
Well, maybe try
mirrors
that.
All over my house. That. Okay, what? And saying, see, I feel silly. It feels
it
silly
now,
to go.
Just try
lean
it
lean into it, even if
shut
it's.
Shut up, Oscar!
No. We never raise our voice.
Sorry.
Hang on.
Oscar? No.
Sorry.
Let me do it. Oscar?
I just was submissive.
Oscar?
Yes.
I don't remember giving you permission to talk. You're lucky you're in Melbourne. Next time you need to butt in, there'll be consequences. Are we clear?
Yes.
Good. Guess who?
Yes, ma'am. Oh, yes,
wow. That's... Keep digging, mate. That's enough.
Ma'am.
Hey, ma'am. Would you like fries with that?
You're welcome.
Have a great day.
I'm nervous. Okay. I'm actually getting clammy.
No, I'm clammy.
Well, turn the air conditioning on.
Jesus.
That's a you problem.
Oh, that actually
you're sitting
with
there
this.
With your corporate shirt on.
Yeah.
Right? All you're presenting here is you problems.
Yeah.
On our podcast. So find a solution and deal with it. Are we clear? Can we move on? Is everyone satisfied? Oscar's going to be okay.
Yes, I'm satisfied, okay. Yes. So actually the way you're speaking is kind of how I speak at work. So I've just got to use work
exactly.
To talk of me
exactly.
Going, do we all understand? Yeah. Do we all understand why this is completely wrong? But then I kind of get a bit bitchy about it. So I need to be more calm about it.
I think you can start with I statements. I feel like they're very...
What do I say? I don't even know what to say. I don't even know what I want. This is the issue. What would you...
Let's do a scenario A, B, C.
Okay.
Scenario, let's start from baby steps.
Mm.
The agreeance of fucking different holes.
Mm-hmm.
Face fucking on you.
Yeah.
Butt fucking on person X.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, so that's scenario. That's scenario
okay.
A.
Okay.
So you've had your chat.
Yeah.
Consent's been agreed.
Yeah.
Really, all that's required is lube.
Mm-hmm.
Butt plug. We never go in with a big dildo because we haven't got any muscle memory in the butt.
No.
And remember, it's a one-way street. Yada,
yes.
Yada, yada.
Yes.
But we can do another episode on anus play.
Domina anus, you know. You know how I am. Yeah.
that was what it is. So let's say we've prepared, we've practiced, we're feeling good, yada, yada, yada. So person X is in the bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna make person X wait there for a few minutes until we're ready.
Okay.
We don't just go running going,
me.
No.
Yeah.
They wait.
Mm-hmm.
And then we walk in. We could be wearing, or you could be wearing an outfit or not, or whatever. So we say to person X, we look at them and we don't speak straight away.
Okay.
Just look like this. Mm-hmm. Try not to blink too much. And do you remember, they say this, do you remember what we agreed? And he's, yes. Well, then get into position. And that's all. Keep it simple.
Keep
if it's
simple,
too many words.
True.
Yeah,
simple. And just keep it very, okay, simple. So get into position. I can't do it.
Do it.
You can.
Do
okay.
It to Mistress
okay,
Cicilla.
So I'm going to be person X, right?
Okay.
Here I am.
Clomp. Don't stop checking off. I see them panicking again.
No.
What are you doing?
I'm horny.
I'm horny.
Because okay. That's such a do-do.
Do you remember what we agreed?
Yeah.
Then get into position.
I don't want to. Make me. See?
What do I say then?
Don't make me repeat myself.
Okay.
Do as you're told or you don't get your treat.
Oh, so it's... Okay. do as you're told or you don't get your treat.
Okay.
Right. Okay.
And so I'm bending over and sticking my ass out like I want it.
Okay.
And then you can go off with it. So you've got to be prepared.
And then lube. Yeah. And then in.
Yeah.
I'm getting kind of horny. So I just have to be very like calm. Yeah.
So trust, clear. Communication.
Like I'm training someone, you know?
Pretty much.
And you're going.
Pretty much.
But if they're bratty, you just have to go. What?
So if they're bratty, oh, I don't want to do it. That's fine. I'll give you a treat to somebody else.
I guess you don't get it then. That's fine.
Mm-hmm. You have much experience dealing with toddlers?
No.
You will after dealing with all this kind of stuff.
All the subs. Okay. Yeah. So I love this. I feel like I've got some information to go away with because I really, who am I going to try this on? God, the poor next person that I fuck me going, get on the bed.
I'm just going to suss them out because like, not some people are like into it, but they don't know that they are.
Mm-hmm.
And then some people are like outwardly, fuck yes, give it to me. And some people are like, oh, that's kind of weird. And why would you want to do that?
Yeah. Speaking of weird.
Go.
My next question that I want to ask you that a lot of people asked and that I think was my first question for you. Have you ever had like a fetish too far that you would never do? What is that for you?
I can't do brown showers.
Mm. What, scat?
Yeah.
Mm.
Me personally, I'm constipated. And it's a miracle for me to go to the toilet
at all.
Metamucil.
At all.
Yeah, done that. It's getting better. But it's just, but it's like me personally, I just want to shit in a toilet.
Yeah.
So you, but if someone really wanted you to do it, would you just send them to someone else?
Yeah,
like a referral system?
No. I just say no.
You say no.
These people do it. That's not for me. All the best.
And that's the only thing that you wouldn't do. You have any request you've turned down.
So anything like, obviously you've got to be over 18.
Yeah, of course.
Anything
illegal and fucked.
Yeah, yeah.
But in terms of fetishes, that's the only thing. And in terms of consensual kinks.
I can't really think of anything else. I've done most things. There's probably a bunch of stuff I'm still going to do.
Uh-huh.
And that's the thing, you never stop learning.
Yeah, it's always expanding.
It's always expanding.
Yeah.
Being a Dom, like being a good bottle of red wine, I think the better you are, the more you age.
Age.
Or the more you mature. I shouldn't say age. But
I feel like people listening would have no idea about what BDSM is like and all the different aspects. What are some, like there's FinDom, there's like.
Oh, the FinDom thing, I struggle with the FinDom thing.
So FinDom, can you explain FinDom to the listeners?
Sure. So financial domination, I mean, it sounds great on paper, but financial domination is where you show your submission by handing over all your money or paying for the other person's bills or shoes or cars or mortgages or whatever, or paying them a quote-unquote tribute.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a few issues with FinDom.
Mm-hmm.
One, I think people talk up more than what they get.
What do you mean?
Like people say, oh, I got all these thousands of dollars, but I actually don't think that's true.
Right.
Which is fine. I mean, we all, you know, create stories.
Fantasy, yes.
But I think also as well, there is a potential of really ruining someone's life.
Yes, genuinely.
Genuinely ruining someone's life.
Because if they want to get to the point of having the shame that makes it hot for them, it would be that they get to an actually scary situation financially.
Yeah. So I had a virtual client a couple of years ago. He was a cocaine slave. This was really, I did it like a couple of times. So he's like, I want to pay you for a session and then I'm going to give you $50 every time I rack up. So he gave me the same value for the bags. He would send it to me via bank account. He's like, right, I'm going to go and buy a bag. And then the more lines he would get, I had to give him a task. So he got really ashamed without being messed up on drugs about putting things in his butt and jerking off.
Wait, what do you mean?
You get a bag.
You get a bag, okay.
He buys
drugs
the bag,
for himself, yeah? He gives you money.
And says, I went and bought the bag. Here's $300 in your bank account. So whatever he paid for the bag, I got.
Oh, to have shame around the drugs?
I assume so.
Okay, right.
And then he'd say, Mistress, may I please have a line? And I would say, yes, you can. And then he'd send me $50. And then I'd give him a task.
Oh.
And then it would go, you know, you warm up and do all this kind of stuff. And, you know, it was always things about butts and jerking off and weighing on himself and all that kind of stuff. And it kept happening like a couple of times a week. And I said to him, this is where it gets tricky because if you're on drugs or drinking, the lines of consent are blurred.
Totally.
So you've actually, like, you're not in a position to withdraw consent.
Mm-hmm.
And I rang him. I said, you know, I'm just going to give you a call. And I said, look, I can't do this anymore because I am not consenting to do this to you anymore because you are not you can't consent.
Yeah.
I actually think you need to get help, and I think you're actually probably taking more drugs than what you're letting on, and I think you potentially have a problem, and perhaps there's some other stuff that you need to unpack with a therapist. Thank you. Please lose my number. All the very best.
Yes. And then
I think he wrote me an email about a year later saying, thank you very much. I didn't realize how bad my problem was, and I've had therapy and like I'm now gay. I'm like, well done.
Oh, my God.
Like, well done.
Oh, my God. Well Jesus. Done. So you kind of turn into as well, how much pressure do you feel to recognize people's issues that could be like that? Like how much pressure or responsibility do you feel with your clients?
Oh, all of it, because they hand over their responsibility for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, et cetera.
Yeah.
So, you don't have to do that, but I feel a level to offer a duty of care.
Of course.
Particularly like if you get subspacey and sometimes
you get what?
Subspacey. So
what's that?
What kind of sub are you? I have never been to subspace.
What do you mean?
What do you mean? There's some homework for
you. I'm a bad one. No, what do you mean? Subspacey?
So subspace. So it's a mindset that you can get into during play where you get like really high in endorphiny and everything else.
Yeah.
Particularly, I think, with adult baby play, there can be a little bit of aftercare because they go into such a rarely visited headspace.
Yeah.
And, you know, going from little space back into adult space, you need to take more time than other sessions. So, you just a couple of slaps around the face and, you know, things up the butt, you're good to go, shower, piss off. But with adult baby stuff and that kind of more sort of niche kind of play can be a little bit...
Big aftercare.
Yeah.
Because aftercare, for those listening, is – well, you can explain it because people want
to – No, please.
Well, isn't it just like having like a gentle – after a scene, you then are kind of taken care of by your dominant in
– Yeah.
In whatever way
works for you. And it's just different to other people. Like I've got one of my clients needs a lot of aftercare, so I kind of got to factor that in. I'm like, okay, we're about, you know, half an hour to finish. They're crying because we've remembered a, you know, issue from childhood or whatever. I'm going to be running late today, so I need to know that I can't see anybody else for the next few hours because it could go on and on and on until.
Do you predetermine aftercare requirements when you do consent of play, or do people not know what they need until they've done their first scene with you?
It's pretty much they don't know what they need.
Yeah.
I'm good at reading it. And the more you do it, you go, okay, there's a potential that this scene's going to go pear-shaped.
Yeah.
Or I've had sessions like where someone's come in to do like a school teacher role play, but it's actually turned into like adult baby.
Yeah,
and
right.
It can go. I mean, that's the whole thing, as you're going to find out when we unpack the realm of dominant.
Yes, dominant.
Is that you're going to go in with one thing, but it can turn out into being something else.
Yeah.
And it's just having that flexibility to be able to switch it up. But that just comes with experience and practice.
What about people? Oh, yeah, go.
You don't have to get it right the first time. And even now, after 23 years, I sometimes still don't get it right.
Yeah.
But most of the time I do.
What about people? How do you handle people? How would I, in theory, just in terms of, this isn't even like in terms of dom, this is more in terms of just like kink in general. I was sleeping with someone for a while, like last year, and they would always say, I want to do things, but I can't tell you until I'm like, Until I've like been drinking, and I go, I'm like, but just tell me because I'm not gonna be shameful. Do you? Because I just ended up being like, well, I'm not gonna fucking do it. We're not gonna do it then.
No way.
Because it's weird. But like, how would you do? You just kind of. I was like, oh, well, this is silly.
Right. Well, it's about.
I was like, you can just tell me. Like, I'm telling you all my shit.
Yeah.
You can just tell me what you want to do, and I feel like it was actually very vanilla.
But it's like, people. It's easier to like tell someone something awkward via text or message rather than talking about it. It's the same kind of thing.
Oh.
So why don't you say, if you can't tell me, write it down.
And then give me a letter.
Yeah.
Or text it
send me.
Send
me a Snapchat.
Send me something good that disappears.
Yeah.
That's a really good idea. Okay, what was the next question? Oh, now into this spectrum of finding a dom. How do you find a dom? How do you know who to trust? And how do you find someone like you? I mean, obviously social media, but it gets deleted. And like, what's the best way to find someone who's a professional dom?
Professional dom.
And then what about this in terms of like social dom as well?
So social, there's this archaic old website called FetLife.
Yes.
It's still around.
FetLife, yes.
I have no idea how it's still around, but I think that still seems to be a place where people connect and chat and everything else. Verifying someone's credibility with anything is difficult.
Yeah. I mean, this dom in the UK said that he wants, I'm just going to say, oh, he wouldn't give a shit. Why would I even, he has a whole Instagram page dedicated to this. So he was like, ideally want you to come to London mm-hmm. and I want to get you a hotel room mm-hmm. and I want you to go into the hotel room and be blindfolded because I've never, like, we've FaceTimed, but, like, I don't know his real name. Right. And he was like, I'll email you my passport. I'll give you all the information that you want, mm-hmm. but don't look at it until I come into the room and until we've finished fucking, and then I'll take your blindfold off after we're done.
Why?
But, huh?
Why?
I know, sensory deprivation. I know. I thought I was masturbating to it when he was telling me about it. So he was like, let's actually do it. You know,
oh,
it was
right,
something
okay.
that I was into.
Right.
But I was very fearful in that I was like, well, I mean, yeah, haha, in theory, you're sending me your passport, but I could be dead by the time that email's opened, you know?
Yeah.
Bit scary vibes. So how do you verify someone? You have to meet them, right?
You like, have to
I was
make
so
them.
Nervous.
But I think it's the strange adage thing. If your gut says something's wrong,
mm.
then there's something wrong.
Yeah.
Like there's no point denying it. Gut instinct is always right.
Yeah.
There's other things like munches as well. So if there's like, I know that like foot fetish, there's a foot fetish munch in Sydney or there used
munch?
To be.
What?
So a munch. So it's basically a social gathering. So you go in your vanilla clothes or your civilian clothes and you can go, right, hi, my name's Sarah. I like having my foot licked and I think I'm a dominant person and I'd like to go to a play party. It's basically a way to verify play people to attend
right.
play parties.
Right.
And now it's probably more a way of a sort of almost like, you know, communal speed dating in a way
right.
to find people.
To find matching.
Normally, yeah, to find matching.
Right, okay. So finding a dom socially, you kind of just have to go, it's just, how do you do this?
It's hard. It's hard. There's play parties around that you can go and have a bit of a look and find and see. And
yep.
That's probably the way to do it now as well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know after the whole pandemic thing if they're still having munches. I think they are.
Yeah.
I don't go to them anymore.
Right. Right. And then professionally, what, you just Google?
There's like escort directories. Mm. So Scarlet Blue, Ivy Society, Dakota Dice, they're the big ones in Australia.
Yeah.
Dickie Virgin's been around for 100 years, but it's so okay. It's like FetLife.
Right, okay.
Daggy. Twitter and website.
And what if someone wanted to? Okay, what if, I mean, obviously you cater to all different kinks. Would you ever, if someone wants to learn how to be dominant, could they come to you and pay you for a session to help, to show?
Yeah, some people
do. Is that
do.
A thing or is that a whole, no, that's like you doing a whole bloody course and you're a professor. And it's like, and then it's like, oh my God. Like,
professor,
oh,
mistress,
that's a whole, yeah, it's a whole
do
new
thing. Can I wear the hat?
Then you're
the
a
hat?
Man. Yeah, then you get the hat.
I get the hat.
But it's like,
hat.
It's like a latex hat, you know, it's like a different thing.
I love it when you talk dirty to me.
But is that a thing? Can you learn through a dog? Is that a normal thing to do?
Yeah. So I get a lot of couples who will come in. So it's like, and I love that. If people who have been together for a long time, things are a little bit boring, or if someone goes, oh, maybe I want to be dominant, or, you know, can we learn how? I think that's beautiful when they're coming together. Like, it fills me, my blackened, dusty heart with joy.
Yeah.
Like,
I reckon that's beautiful.
It is.
Both
but
agreeing
it's
on something and both taking a risk together, you know, doing something nice for your relationship.
And it's fun. And then they often like stay in a beautiful hotel. And, and I forget because I guess I've seen a lot of things that most people wouldn't necessarily see.
Mm.
Having sex in front of a complete stranger in a weird dungeon is really confronting. And I'm like, guys, you've been amazing because you've had me watching you and telling you what to do in these strange situations and all that kind of stuff. So, and then some people will say, oh, you know, I'm seeing this guy or blah, 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 similar to you. I want to learn how to do this. I'm like, okay, well, do we know what he likes?
Right.
I think he likes this. And then we try and construct a scene together that way.
Right. So you were saying you have like a black, dusty heart. What's your sex life and relationship like? What's your like personal sex life and romantic relationships like? Like are they heavily dominant or are they kind of vanilla or is it a mix?
Well, it's dating someone like me is very difficult.
Why?
Because, I mean, think of it this way. Just say we're dating.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm going to go to work now and do all these strange things to people and be in a room in not many clothes in a sexual format.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about that?
Yeah.
You go, oh, maybe you don't love me. Oh, there's the whole jealousy thing.
Yes.
So dating someone like me, and it's not like I can go on dating apps either because I've got to go on with my real name.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
And then.
And also you can get taken off dating apps because they think we're soliciting. So if I use Lucilla.
Then you can't do that either, yeah.
They can't go either. So the talent pool for someone like me is very, very, very small.
Mm.
So I guess my my relationship life is not existent.
It's non-existent.
Yeah. Yeah. And then also as well, I guess men struggle with somebody like me because I don't, you know, take away the whole jealousy thing. I don't need you to do anything other than have sex with me. I make my own money. I bought my own house. Mm-hmm. I'm completely independent. Mm-hmm. You know, I've got my Beyonce hat. I'm independent. Yeah. Like, but that's what it is. Like I buy my own shit and I don't need you. Men need to feel needed. You need to activate their whole like caveman saving the world
bullshit.
Shit.
Yeah.
That I don't know how to do. Yeah. I don't want to learn how to do, thank you very much. I can pretend to for about 2 seconds. And then I get bored and get the fuck out.
Like, yeah.
You know?
So you just don't really have personal sex at the moment?
No, not really.
Do you have any, because you have a high libido, do you feel like it's all, like it's satisfied? Oh, you got fuck buddies.
Well, kind of, sort of. Like I have like the roster, but the roster's kind of empty right
babe,
now.
Babe, me always having a roster and ever-changing roster and then people fucking coming in and out. People just quitting. People can't commit to a job these days, you know?
No, they can't.
It's like they're all Christmas casuals. It's like, for fuck's sake, you know? It's a fucking joke.
And then we were dealing with men. It's like, because it's the fine line for me of like, do I let you in? How much do I let you in?
Yeah.
Because they know Lucilla the fantasy, but do they really want to know the
real
Lucilla who's waking up at 5 o'clock in the morning,
yeah,
looking like, you know, drool down my face and not, you know, the makeup and all that kind of crap on.
Yeah.
Because, you know, everyone underneath all this is really a dag. I don't go to bed in a corset, in a coffin.
I mean, it'd be fabulous if you did,
I have sometimes when I'm falling asleep on the couch. I'm like, I'm too tired to get changed. I wake up at 2 o'clock and I'm going, fuck, what happened?
Good God. So what aftercare do you give yourself after a scene? Do you give yourself aftercare?
Don't need it. Oh, no, that's a lie. Sometimes if it's been a really heavy emotional kind of session, I just need to take a minute and just try and just switch off for a little bit. That's just hot shower, early night, herbal tea, bed.
Love it. Just a normal kind
just
of
like a normal
me coming
kind
home
of
from
like
work.
Hot bath, from work. You know, and like I'm trying to take myself off to like, because I'm an Aquarian, like I love the water, day spas and baths and all that kind of stuff.
Water baby vibes.
It's very tempting, as a lot of sex workers can do, to hit the booze and hit the drugs to try and switch off. And we've all been there, all done that. But really all that does is just, you know, frying you even further than you need to be.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
So, I mean, you know. Wouldn't mind a glass of Dom Perignon every so often. Yeah.
With
the pepperoni pear top.
Oh, pepperoni. Oh my God, yeah.
I mean, you know, it's appropriate for Doms to drink Dom Perignon, is it not?
Yes. I know what to say. I'm like, yes.
Yes.
Thank you so much for talking to me. I've had the best conversation with you. How long have we been talking for, Lem? Like,
1 hour and 8 minutes.
Oh, Jesus.
Usually it's like half an hour. Me going, oh my God.
Oh my God. I'm so sorry.
Okay, plug your shit. Where can we find you? Where can people book you? Where can people, what have you got coming up? The book.
All right.
Tell everyone everything
the
where they can.
Okay. Let's start with, you can find me everywhere because like I am an attention whore. No, I'm not attention whore.
Yeah,
I
just like to
be accessible. I like to be accessible at all places for all people. So I have a website, mistresslucilla.com.au. I am on Instagram, Lucilla5th, Lucilla_the_5th. Twitter, Mistress Lucilla. Snapchat, Mistress Lucilla. TikTok, Lucilla wears lubes because I have a massive high heel fetish. It's disgusting.
Love.
It needs to stop. I've had to like put myself in Louboutin chastity.
Can't hold.
Stop it. Yeah, fucking day. I'm on escort directory, so Scarlet Blue, Ivy Society, Dakota Dice. Next year, in time depending, there will be a book that I am currently writing, which will be released, which was probably, I guess, more of in-depth details about, you know, real life, some of my stories. It's not going to be like a smutty Harry Meghan kind of book. It's hopefully will be more tasteful.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed, one can hope.
And that's everything. Amazing.
It's going to be in the show notes too. All of these in the show notes.
When that comes out, we'll have to get you back on because I'm sure we're going to have a million questions from listeners after this.
We've got to start our own podcast.
Yeah, we'll have to get the photo shoot set up of me on the floor with a Louboutin on my face. That's hot.
I'm shooting on Friday afternoon. Come.
Oh my God, I'm oh my God, that's so hot. No, I've got to drive somewhere, darling. So I'm fucking.
What, you
I'm
drive?
All around.
We don't drive, darling.
Yeah, I'll find someone to drive me up to.
Yeah, I just use Uber.
Yeah, there you go. Take me somewhere. Thank you so much. I'm going to try and practice my dom vibes.
Yes.
I'm going to look in the mirror.
Domina Anus.
Domina Anus starting off.
She is making her way into her kinky world.
I can't wait. Oh,
and
my
I'm
God.
Excited to see what's going to happen.
Oh, my God.
And I'm going to hold
your
hand.
I'll send you videos of me practicing in the mirror.
Yeah, and I can give you feedback.
Yeah.
It's like online coaching, right?
Oh, my God, yeah. I'll pay you a coaching fee. This is so exciting. Yeah. Amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Listener.